good morning, good afternoon, good whatever, guys.
Hi.
Let's talk about pronunciation right now with Emily Danu.
Yes, I would like to speak about my accent. I would like to address it before we start.
Thank you so much.
I understand that I have a Greek accent, but...
Okay. Since we are Greeks, it's normal.
Yes, I think that for months I tried to fight it. And in Erasmus, I was trying to speak more English. More English.
You know, with an accent.
Yes,
more,
yes.
You know.
But then I embraced it and I realized that it is my identity.
Of course.
Like as long as you can understand me, this is the way I talk. And I remember one time we were eating all together, like some friends that I had there, and I was really happy that we were eating. So I said
because I was hungry.
Yeah, and I said to everyone, "Oh guys, I really like it that we are feasting together." And one friend.
We are feasting.
Yes, yes. And one friend of mine, she was like, "Emily, oh my God, we're not feasting."
I didn't know that you like feasting so much.
We're not feasting, we're feasting. And then I realized that you pronounce differently the I and the EA. And she was like, she almost like she was eating. And I said, "We're feasting." And
yeah. By the way, I had the same. I had a similar thing, a similar situation when I was in Poland because I was working in a library as a Greek teacher. So there were some students of mine who were, you know, they couldn't understand the numbers because they started counting ένα, δύο, and the most common mistake that like almost of everyone of my students made was ένα, δύο, τρίο. So they were like, "How much does this cost, for example? Τρίο ευρώ, τρίο." And I was like, "Please, if you come to Greece,
don't say that.
Never use that word, or you can use it in other cases as
How much does this cost? Oh, a threesome, okay."
Threesome, yeah, because in Greek, guys, trio means threesome. Or trio also means three guys who go out and play music
together. Okay. So, yeah, sometimes they have a threesome after that. It's you know, music people are really free. Okay.
It's a perfect introduction right now because I haven't even mentioned her name, her nationality, where did she study and everything. Whatever. Emily Danu, guys, is a comedian from Thessaloniki, the city of your studies. Okay, because you are from...
From a small village.
Okay, from a small village. Where exactly?
It's yeah, not exactly. It's in the middle of Greece, like central east. I don't know. No, central west. I confuse east west. Yeah, so it's from that side.
The local guy who sells potatoes.
Yes, the local guy who sells potatoes. And why are we here? We are here because I participated in the Erasmus program. Like 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago?
Yeah, I can't believe it. Like every time I talk with my friends from Erasmus, it's like it's a completely different universe. Yeah. And I can't believe it's been like 2 years.
Yeah, it's so far away right now. So close and so far
away
at the same time.
Yeah, so close and so far.
And where exactly were you?
I was in Dresden. It's in Germany. In near Poland, near Prague, near I don't know. I'm not good with geography.
1 hour from Prague.
Yeah, one hour and a half, almost 2 hours, okay. Like that. Yeah, and
If you want to go from Thessaloniki to Larissa, for example,
it's in Saxony. It's in that part of Germany.
Yeah, guys, I went there for vacation for 2-3 days, and it was amazing. Like, I really enjoyed that, and it reminded me of Budapest a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I have never been in Budapest, but Dresden was really beautiful, and it reminded you of a fairy tale.
Yes.
And like in the night, and
also you had a lot of Erasmus students because in my city
we have a big community. Like I was staying in a dorm, mm-hmm, that it was only for foreign students and mainly Erasmus. So my dorm was only Erasmus students. We were mostly living together.
Okay.
And I was living in the top floor, and in the top floor it was the floor that they had parties.
Oh.
So yeah, no sleep for me. But
were they Greeks?
Yeah, I had like one friend. He was living in the first floor, you know, like the basic floor. And yeah, it was nice having him here.
Okay.
So,
but you didn't have any restrictions because Thanasis told me that when he was in Paris, he was staying in a dorm which was like dedicated to the Greek nationality, and there was another dorm for French people, for German people.
No, we were all together, like not only Erasmus student, but also students from
master, for example.
Yeah, master from Latin America, and so you were cooking in the kitchen, and there was the guy from Mexico, Spanish people. It was really nice.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
In Dresden, it was really easy to make friends, and it was like we were in a big group of. Yeah.
A great melting pot, that's what we say for Erasmus.
Yeah, one friend of mine, she was in Leipzig. It's near Dresden.
I know it.
Yeah, and she told me that...
But it's a small city, right?
No, it's like Dresden, I think.
Okay.
But they didn't have...
Leipzig.
Leipzig, yeah.
Okay.
And they didn't have like so strong Erasmus community. Like we had a group chat, we would talk together, whatever you wanted, you could text there. So it was easy to make friends, to communicate, to socialize and to do stuff together.
He won't shut up, guys. The guy who is selling potatoes, he won't shut up.
No, this is what I missed in Erasmus.
Patates de euro.
Trio euro.
Trio euro, yes. And how long did you stay in Dresden?
I was from April till August, like almost 4.5 months. So, yeah.
So during the summer.
During the summer. And I expected the weather in Germany to be like a lot worse. Mm-hmm. But it was really
a
good.
A lot worse. Why? Lot
you know, because everyone said that in Germany it's so cold, blah, 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 blah. But it was really nice and warm. And it was too warm sometimes. And I was like, okay, this is it, global warming.
Yeah. No, it was really, at least when I went there in May, it was really hot, really.
But in Dresden, in winter, some people were Erasmus for 2 semesters and they said that in winter it was so dead outside because it was snowing all the time and nobody would get out. So in the summer it was crazy. They had festivals. It was...
Beer festivals, of course, I think, right?
Beer festivals, techno festivals. They had like some city fest that happens every year and everyone from like near villages and towns come. And it was like a carnival in Patra, if you know. It was
carnival in Patra?
Yeah, Patra is like a city in Greece that they...
I think the fourth biggest city in Greece? Eh?
Yeah, maybe.
Athena
yeah.
is the first, Thessaloniki is the second. The third is Patra, eh? And the fourth is Larissa.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think. But, you know, Athena and Thessaloniki are for sure the biggest cities. Athena is the capital and Thessaloniki is the second biggest city. So, okay. And how would you describe the quality of a German beer compared to Greek one?
It was really good and really cheap. I expected to go to Germany and spend a lot of money, but it was actually cheaper than me living here because there I paid like 200 for the room, my dorm. It was really cheap.
Okay.
And it was a good dorm. Like they cleaned every morning, although I had only a room and shared bathroom and kitchen, and it was clean every day, except from the times that we had parties and
everybody was vomiting around.
Yes,
and
like one morning I woke up and I just stepped out of my room and there was vomit on the walls and like broken
on
beers
on the walls.
Yes. And one day the police came because they took the extinguisher.
Yeah.
And they just extinguished everything.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was crazy sometimes. Not for me, for others.
Okay. And did you make any trips while you were in Dresden?
Only in Germany, like some day trips. I went to Erfurt.
No, I don't know.
It's the most central city.
Is it close to Dresden?
Not that close, but not that far. Like 2-3 hours, I think. And I went to Nuremberg. Nuremberg. No. Yeah, it was really pretty. And there were so many Greek people there. I was walking in the street and I heard people talking Greek. And
it's strange because when we are, you know, traveling and we walk around and we hear two words like Remalaka or come here, Remalaka, you're like, okay, I'm in my country right now.
And I went in Berlin for some days, like 2-3 times. And in Berlin, I loved it. I thought, it's a great city, urban. And when it was morning, I said, you know, in the mornings, I was like, okay, I would live here. It's crazy. And at night, I was like, okay, I will lose my kidney. Because it was like so... Yeah. I was with a friend and we would go on the metro, on the tram, I don't know. And we would get into the wrong side of the tram and we would end up...
Guys... I cannot record one episode without being interrupted, sorry.
I was really frightened that night because I would end up into stations that I thought I was going to get skilled.
I think it's the most common mistake that everybody makes when he or she goes to Berlin. Because they are like the station is on the left and you go on the right way.
Like every time.
Of course. And then you end up being on the really other side of the city and you're
no
really
one's there.
Confused.
Yeah, it was like in a movie where, you know, you're about to get... like
of course, I really like the architecture, you know, basically concerning the art of Berlin, the paintings. What's the name of that street which is full of art?
Berlin Mauer. It's the Berlin Wall.
Okay.
But I don't remember like the
but
name of the street.
Basically, to be honest, I wasn't, you know, so amazed by the city because it was more industrial concerning.
Yeah, it reminded me of Athens, in some streets and some
points. The buildings, the roads. I wasn't so.
I like industrial, I would like to live in an industrial city. That's what I missed in Dresden. Like, everything was so fucking perfect and beautiful. And
I didn't want to live in a perfect place.
No,
you know?
it was perfect, but something was missing. Like, a little bit of...
misery. Like, you know, industrial cities.
A little bit of fucking misery, yes.
Emily, in Poland, where I lived, they didn't even have balconies. Like most of the buildings didn't have balconies.
In Dresden too.
Yeah, so I wanted to commit suicide while I was living
there. And you didn't have a balcony to commit it.
Yeah, bravo, Emily. Yeah, that's correct. 100%. And what advice would you give to any student who wants to study in Dresden? Is that a good choice?
Okay,
or where can he or she go, for example, for a drink, for a coffee, if you remember anything?
You know, I think it's a really good choice to study in Dresden because there's a lot of nightlife in most German cities. They don't have nightlife. The Erasmus community is really strong. And
when you say nightlife, I mean, do they close at 4 in the morning?
Some places do. Like, it has lots of clubs and like every weekend everything is open, but also on everyday nights there's places that you can go and stay like really long.
Okay.
And Dresden has two parts mostly. It has bridges, you know, the river, and
and they're amazing, guys. You have to visit Dresden.
Yeah, and in Neustadt, which is the new part of the city, like the new build, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are mostly the bars and clubs are there, and. And what I was saying, and there's a lot of choices, and the Altstadt is really beautiful, and they have like a lot of cultural life. Mm-hmm. They have festivals, like we had a university festival
with traditional costumes, maybe.
No, not that much. No, okay. Like techno festivals or live concerts in the university. We had a university festival, something like that.
Okay.
And it was inside the university, like the parties we have here. It was a live concert and live music and beers. It was like amazing. And
okay.
It was like a really big concert full of students. And I think it's a great place to study. Okay. Like in the winter, I guess... it's really more difficult.
Cold.
Yeah, people don't go out. They usually stay inside and they party inside. So
whereas in Greece, we go outside, like whatever happens, even if we have, I don't know, minus 20, for example, we will go out for a coffee.
Yeah.
That's like 100%, really.
And in Dresden, it's really cheap. Like as a student, you can find a dorm with 200 euros and it's going to be okay. Like the supermarkets.
Were you sharing your room with
No, I wasn't sharing my room. I was sharing my bathroom and my kitchen. And there was like a common living room in each floor. But they cleaned it every morning, like with lots of people, like a crew of people cleaning it. So it was always clean, except from the party. But it was really clean.
Okay,
yeah.
And what about the prices outside? I mean, do they have cheap prices, for example?
Not in the food. Like, okay, in comparison to Greece, like the street food is more expensive.
Yes.
The most cheap thing was a doner or a durum, you know, it's like a...
Yeah, always, guys, kebab, doner.
Yeah, this was the cheapest, like 350, and you were really full. But the supermarkets were really cheap, so you could cook and buy things from there and just... be okay with food and
have
drinks.
Have you tried anything from German
food?
Any sweets? Any?
I like the Käsekuchen. Like, you
what
know,
are these?
It's like a sweet cheese pie, something like that. It was amazing, and they had like lots of pies and and sausages mostly, but not all.
Yeah, sausages, yes.
Yes, and in Dresden there's a lot of stuff near that you can go for trips. There's the Sächsischen Schweiz. It's like, they call it Schweiz. Schweiz is Switzerland.
Okay.
And they say that it's the Switzerland of Saxony because it's beautiful. Like, you go up the mountains and you hike and it's... I don't know. It was the most beautiful place that I have gone for hiking, and it was like you could see the river, all the whole view from up there. And in Dresden, you had with your student card, you had you had free transportation inside Dresden, but also in the Saxony. So you could visit every city for free in Saxony with a train. With a public train.
And I think that with your student ID, with your student ID, you can have access to a lot of museums for free.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. And but there were open days in Dresden. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, a museum had a free, every Sunday, I don't know, it had a free entrance. Okay. So if you...
Free museum day, for example.
Yeah, if you had a plan, you could visit this every museum for free. Like, there was a lot of things to do, now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't think that we have such a thing in Greece with our student ID. Maybe we will have a discount,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah, I don't know if it's free. But I don't know if it's free in Dresden too, with a student ID.
Okay.
It's free for everyone, I think, some days in the week.
Have you visited any Jewish memorial, for example?
No, only in Berlin, like the Jewish memorial and some museums, but I haven't. I didn't go to Poland, but I went to a city that's like the most eastern part of Germany, mm-hmm. and we went there for free because it was in Saxony, and we went by train, and it's simultaneously a German city and a Polish city. It's cut in half.
Basically a German city, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was weird because it was, it's called Görlitz. I don't know how, it has a Polish name, but I don't know it. So you would cross the bridge and you would be in Poland. And
immediately the labels will change from German to Polish.
You know, it was really cheap. Like, we went there for free and we crossed the bridge and we went to and ate into a Polish restaurant.
Yes.
And it was so fucking cheap.
Yeah,
and the cigarettes were cheaper. Like, it was so surreal because one time you were in Germany and one time you were in Poland, and...
And also in Poland, the beer is cheaper than the water.
Really?
Yes. So you can understand why most of the people
were... In Germany too. Like, it was almost the same price. You know, I couldn't understand why we should pay for tap water. Like,
For tap water?
Yes, you have to pay for tap water or they say go to the bathroom. I don't understand that. And there was a Canadian friend that I had there that he was like, fuck them. He was he just came to Dresden and they stole him. And then he went into a bar and asked for a glass of water. And they were like, no. He was like, what the fuck? You know, but it's like, it's common there not to have water, or like, for free.
And but I think that I would say that again, because we had previously a discussion, that maybe it's not a problem in there. It's a problem in Greece, because in Greece we really have places that don't, let's say, force us to pay for the water or for the bread.
Maybe it's good.
We don't have to pay so much. For example, I don't know, when I went to Berlin, guys, I remember that I paid €2
for
water.
Yeah. Sometimes I was thinking that, I don't know, maybe this is better because, like, in Greece, I see that everyone buys a bottle.
It's thirsty.
Yeah, and buys like a bottle of water for 50 cents and then they throw it away. Like, I was working in a place where we would sell water, and lots of stuff, But everyone would buy water and then leave it. So, if you give €2-3, you don't leave it.
And by the way, I want to add that when I was in, I think, Göttingen, that's the name, near Hanover.
Okay,
North. Well, I went to see my brother, guys, in October, and I observed the fact that when you use, for example, a plastic bottle of water, you can use it in a machine, and it is being recycled, and you get some money
back. Yeah, like we would buy things from the supermarket, and the price, it includes like the bottle. So if you pay 30, 40 cents, you can give it back, and we would like gather some bottles and then go to the supermarket and get a refund.
Yes, so which is very good. I mean, especially for the poor.
It urges you to recycle. Yeah, we would give them to people who... Some people would like go with carts in the streets and collect. Yeah.
Of course, as you understood, we don't have such a thing in Greece.
No, we don't.
We just throw things away, you know. We don't care, actually, to be honest. I think that in Greece, we don't even have a normal, you know, normal process concerning the recycling bins, because there are many people who throw their rubbish, which are not for
recycle.
Yes, and they throw them into the blue bin.
And not only like the people who... I have seen, some, like, I was working in a bar and we would...
Emily, what?
Who?
You have done so many things in your life. You were working in a bar.
In Dresden, I worked in H&M. I got a job. Hauntem.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there's like an organization, something like that, I don't know, which takes students and connects them with companies, and you can work whenever you want. You have free schedule. So you say, okay, I can work these days. And they say, okay, this company needs someone for these days. Can you work?
On the basis of ESN?
No, it's like for students to find a job.
A voluntary program or with...
I don't know. Maybe they get money from the companies.
Okay.
You don't pay. Mm-hmm. You just communicate with them, and you can find a job. And my German, they were really not good. And
so you had to speak in German in H&M. How do you call it?
Hauntem. I was working like in the back where we would fold clothes and stuff. But it was nice, you know. I felt like an immigrant a little bit because I don't know. It was.
But were you asked by someone to speak in German, for example?
No.
How much does this cost, for example?
Yeah. And I was like, I froze, because one time I worked in the trying rooms, and there I froze sometimes. But there was another guy, and I understood, but it was really hard for me to talk. And I remember on the first day, I was really nervous, and I was like moving my body. And the lady said, you know, if you wanna pee, you can go. And I was like, no, I don't wanna pee. I'm just nervous.
But you, of course, you can respond in English, right?
Yeah, but I was trying.
Was there any rule that?
No. They were really nice, you know. I don't know. They were like, okay, no, you have your break. You can go on your break. It was really...
And in Greece, we're like, you won't have a break. It was will die.
You know, right, it was now a really like nice environment and job. I don't... It was like I wasn't really working, because we would have pop music playing in the background, and we were folding clothes, and it was a nice environment. If I spoke German, it would be better. But it was really good.
You were working in H&M in Germany. No. You were working voluntarily in a radio.
I didn't work
station.
A lot, like four times in Germany.
Yeah, but your CV will be full, I think. Will be better than mine, for sure.
No, like, but I have worked like... a little bit shitty jobs.
I don't think that working in a radio it's shitty.
I didn't work there. I wasn't getting paid. It was for free.
Perfect. Yes, but at least you tried. I wasn't even paid when I was in Poland teaching Greek to the guys. But it was something that, how can I say, like, aroused my interest to do this. Aroused. English pronunciation, guys.
Okay. Yes, I will try to now.
I will try to speak you know, like a non-Greek, for example. But I'm Greek, so I cannot. So, okay. Yes, but it was something that really made me happy. I was thinking about that while I was starting my day, that, okay, at 4 o'clock I have a class. And
yeah,
I was really excited. Because, you know, when you teach for a foreign language, when you teach your mother tongue to someone else who doesn't speak Greek, for example, you can observe the errors that he or she might make. For example, my teacher of Spanish, she told me 3-4 days ago, because she's half Spanish, half Russian, and she wanted to stay English and Greek together. She wanted to say, Katerina, stand still, which is mine akiniti.
Okay.
But she said, mine anikiti, which means stay unbeatable. And she also told me that, like, during her first 2 years, for example, in Greece, when she met her husband and she had her children, whatever.
That's why she was learning
They
Greek.
Went to a funeral, and she didn't say silipitiria, which means I'm sorry. She said siharitiria, which means congratulations. And you know, it was really funny and tragic at the same time, but it really made me laugh at that time.
Yeah, and I think that that is the thing that we don't understand. For example, in Germany, I was really embarrassed when I tried to speak German, and that's why I think I didn't learn, because every time I would try to speak, I would be like, okay, now I sound stupid and I cannot express myself, and I would stop. And I think it's the thing that we're afraid is that we're going to sound stupid.
Yes.
But okay, the other person may laugh, but he understands you.
Yes.
So it's okay.
In my university, basically, we were studying the whole process of learning a foreign language, for example, English at the same time, at this time, because I'm studying English, philology. And we learned that when you try to use a foreign language for the first time, you might sound first rude, because you don't have a rich vocabulary, or very, very, you know, in a very informal and slang way of talking. I mean, we compared letters, a very formal letter, and a letter which is, you know, to one of your friends, for example. And it was really funny because there were some, I don't know, English guys who came to Greece, and they were addressing to their professor in singular and not in plural, which was, okay, it's funny to us, but it's not funny for the English people because they have you. You is both singular and plural.
So, they couldn't understand the difference.
Spanish people, on the other hand, they have the third singular, which is, for example, in Greek, we say, if we see a professor, we use the plural. We say εσείς. We don't say you.
Yes, okay.
But Spanish people have a typical form for the singular and the plural.
Ah, okay. The same happens like in German.
Really?
But when you write it, you have to write it with a capital to make it formal. So it's different.
You have to write a capital?
When you're addressing like someone in with formal, you don't say like you. Mm-hmm. You say they. Something like that. So
more impersonal.
Yeah, it's they with a capital T, but Z in German. Yes. Z with a...
Yeah, for example... This is exactly what makes me feel excited when I teach Greek and English and whatever, French, because I realize that there are so many different cultural and morphological characteristics when you get to know someone, for example. I don't know, like I learned 2 days ago that in Spain they use an expression like, how do we say in Greece, you are my other half?
Okay.
They say, you're my other half orange, you know, like a slice of orange, which is very funny for us, but for them it's normal, for example.
Yeah, it's sweet and romantic.
How can we make this conversation sound serious like right now?
And how was your my lectures, you asked me? Yeah, my
Oh yes, I asked you, how were your lectures?
It was everything in German, you know, like I had 9 courses in German.
You, Emily, you, Thanasis, Alexandros Mouradidis told me that all of your classes were in the were not in English.
Yes.
Why?
But I don't know. I chose it because I was stupid. I was like, yes, I'm going to choose a German university that's has German lessons because I want to improve my German. Nah. Yeah, because I thought that it was going to be an academic experience to evolve academically and
and torture myself to death and, you know.
Yeah, but I did good. People, like the professors, they were really cooperative, and I passed like 6 from 9 courses. And
bravo,
I didn't I studied, but not a lot.
And imagine that if you had courses in English, you would pass them all, probably.
I don't know. Maybe they would be more strict, stricter. I don't know. Because now they understood that it was in German and that we had a disadvantage. So I think that they were nicer to us.
Tolerant, for example.
Yeah, and I had an oral exam in German. And because I left a little bit earlier, and I had the private oral exam with a teacher. And I thought that she was really strict, and I was afraid of her because she was old. And the previous night, I went to a concert by myself in Berlin.
Oh.
And I went back to Dresden like 6 in the morning, and in 10 o'clock I had the oral exam. And I hadn't studied like almost a thing, and I went there and I was sitting myself or shitting, I don't know. And she was like, so what do you think of the lectures? And I was like, you know, to be honest, I wasn't really there.
Oh.
But then she was like, okay, what did you study? I didn't study a lot. I was honest. But, you know, she asked me some stuff. She said, what did you study? And I told her, like in German. And she was like, okay, can you tell me about this thing too? And I told her some stuff. And she asked me like 2-3 questions. And I didn't think I was really good. And in the end she says, okay, you know, I can't give you one. And one is like 10 in German. But I will.
Really? Wow.
And I will give you two. And I was like, what is this? What is this?
Is she trying to kill me or something?
I thought she was like, she was going to be like really strict and I was going to embarrass myself. And she gave me a 2 because I knew some stuff.
Okay.
So I got an 8 and I left and I was like, okay, this is the greatest German lady in the world, the best German lady. Yeah, so like in Dresden, I think the professors are really good and cooperative.
In Poland, for example, we had 5 as like the best. And if you got 2, for example, you had to repeat and go again to the class to write whatever you wanted, for example. But in my case, all of my classes were in English, maybe because I studied English philology. I don't know, guys. I'm just mentioning that. My professors, by the way...
I studied psychology, just to say, you know.
Yes, Emil studied psychology. We forgot to mention that because we're idiots,
okay.
Like, you know, normally. We ate Greek pastitsio.
here, yes.
Yes, and now, you know, our stomach says thank you so much. How is thank you in German? Dziękuję bardzo, or dzięki in Polish.
Dzięki.
Yeah. Dzięki is like thanks, for example. All of my classes were in English. My professors were even better than my professors in Thessaloniki. They were more... Now, I don't want to, you know, offend.
Okay.
But they, in my opinion, they were more educated. Like, and they really paid attention to Erasmus students. To any Erasmus student who showed interest, you know, because most Erasmus students don't care about the classes. But in my case, I really cared about my classes. I was always, you know, present and I was raising my hand and I made presentations.
Bravo. Okay.
Yeah, because I really liked the, you know, my classes and my courses. I also had a course in Polish. It was like Polish as a foreign language.
I had one too in German.
We had to learn shitty things like, how are you? What's your name? Whereas, you know, guys, I was in Poland. I had zero knowledge and I wanted to learn. How much does this cost? Where do I take this train?
Yeah.
Where is that station?
Useful
you wanted
stuff.
To learn practically the language. And what time is it, for example? Okay, it's not so, you know, important in my case. So, in general, I had a very good experience concerning the university.
In Dresden, what made me like a really a good impression was that the teachers, most of them, they were really young. And in Greece, everyone is
in
so
my case
old.
Well, bravo, Emily.
And we had like different, we had a range of professors and they really liked what they teach. And the courses, they were really specific.
Yes.
So I had the opportunity to see some courses that here they don't exist, like transfer psychology or psychology of learning in technological environments. And, you know, they were really, I don't know, here they... the professors are educated too, of course, but yeah,
it's
we have
like we are like you know cursing Greece right
we
now.
We have really good professors, but I think that they, in Germany they were also
they didn't only have academic.
Yeah,
knowledge,
they were good
they
at
were expanding their
and they were good at like being teachers, like.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, like communicating, the lecture was more, people would participate, and like in Germany, oh my fucking God, every fucking student had a laptop and was making notes.
Yes.
Like they were so good students, and I was going to the lectures almost half asleep, and everyone was like there to study, and I saw a difference between the
yes.
Greek lectures and the German ones.
I still cannot take notes on the laptop, by the way. I always, you know, have a piece of paper, for example, with my pen.
Yeah.
I cannot take notes with my laptop.
They had like the lectures, they had them already downloaded, and they would make notes on the slide that the professor
yes.
was talking with
bullets and
yeah,
anything.
I don't know how they do that. I think they study a lot because
or they're more organized, Emily.
Yeah, but like some I didn't meet a lot of German people in psychology, like one told me that most people study a lot and they try because it's really hard to get in the masters there, so they have to have close to one, like almost, you know,
almost 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really hard for them. I don't know. They have a lot of... It's really hard to get into university in departments like psychology or medical school and stuff. So,
Do they have examine? Not like the Panhellenics.
No, they have like something different. I don't know. But it's really hard for them to go, to get in. You have to study a lot. That's what they told me.
Okay.
So it's kind of different. I don't know.
So the level of your university was...
It was good, yes.
Okay, it was good.
Yeah, I liked Dresden. For Erasmus, I think it's a really good choice. But okay, maybe if you want to have fun, it's good if you want to have fun. But some other people from Greece, they say like, okay, if you want to have fun, you have to go to Spain or big cities. But it was a good...
Stereotypical things, guys.
Yeah, but like for Germany, because I have heard that it's going to be dull or boring, it was a really good city. It was big, it had lots of things to do. You were near Berlin, near Prague, so you were connected.
I think that wherever you go, just because you are Erasmus and you are in this program, you can have fun and you can share great experiences with many guys, because first of all, you can travel if you are in that program.
You're living for... someone is paying you to live and study. And that's what I miss. Someone paying me.
Of course, yeah. Because most of us have scholarship. I mean, there are really... like, I know only a few cases from students who didn't have scholarship.
Yeah.
I didn't have scholarship at the beginning. They told me that I cannot take that. But in the end, they told me everything is okay. You can have it.
Like lots of people cancel. So if you are near to the people who get
and also guys funds. Because we belong to the university to the University of Aristotle, which has I think 40 departments. There are too many.
Yeah,
not everyone can get scholarship because we are really too many. So there is a possibility that you don't have this opportunity. But in my case, I had it and Emily had it, so we are satisfied both. It's normal, I think. And concerning the university, I had some of my friends from Poland who told me that they were attending classes in Polish, and Polish is a very difficult language, and they didn't even know anything in Polish. And the professor told them at the beginning that I will speak in English, and he was speaking Polish for, you know, all the semester, for example, and they didn't pass anything.
Like one girl from my university, I think she said she was in Poland, but like all the classes were in Polish, but she had like an arrangement with every professor, and she was making like homework in English,
essays.
Yeah, and I think that's what we do here in my department. We don't have lots of English courses, like only 1-2, and the Erasmus students like cooperate with the teacher, and they make their assignments in English. But the only bad thing is that you can't like understand the lectures.
Okay. Did you have any problems when you get back to Greece concerning your courses and...
No, like in my department, it's really easy to... They acknowledge them as like lessons, choice lessons. I don't know, like free
selectives.
Selectives. They approve everything.
Okay.
They don't have to correspond with my program of the university. So because they say, okay, you go to Erasmus because you want to take courses that you don't have here.
Yes.
We have like, I like, in my department, we have like this mentality. And I have heard like in other departments, it's more strict.
For example, in my department, it's a lot, you know, it's stricter because we want to recognize each course as a category.
Yeah,
for example, in my department, we have the category of literature, of linguistics, of the free elective courses, for example, of the courses for translation, for example. And of course, I had all of my courses were recognized 7-7. It was perfect for me, but only 3 or 4 of them could be included to a category.
Yeah, okay, I understand. So you had
I had to repeat 2 or 3 courses again, not the same courses because we don't have such courses in Greece. And I think that that's a very good thing in Erasmus. Like if we see that from a point of education, of course, and not alcohol and trips. You can also attend courses that you never had the chance to attend in Greece. I also had such courses. It was really interesting. And also my professors were very communicative and, you know, willing to help us. They were really nice, really nice.
You know, I didn't drink a lot in Erasmus. Like, I got drunk only 2 times and mostly I wasn't drinking because in Germany I decided to live a healthy life. So I was...
Bravo, Emily.
I was exercising, I was eating healthy, and I lost like almost 10 kilos.
You were posting stories on your Instagram account with roller skating?
Yeah. They had like skate parks, and I wasn't really good at skating or rollers, but I tried, and it was nice because we would just go to the park and skate and buy things from the supermarket. And yeah, I did stuff there that I miss here.
Yes.
And I realized later that okay.
I even went to watch a football game in Poland, guys, and I never go to football games to watch them or something like that. I could hear like 3 or 4 million times the word kurwa from every Polish guy, pierdola, and they were like, when one guy scored, for example, it was like an earthquake. Everybody shouted, screaming, and we couldn't scream in Polish because we didn't know Polish. Yeah. So we're like, goal.
Yeah. You know what, I was I had a friend there, she was Greek too, and we were talking about our experience, and we realized that we had a mentality in Erasmus that it was different from in our normal lives. We were like, okay, we have to try new things, experience things. And we were thinking, why don't we do that in our home country? Like, and we were like, okay, when we get back, we will have this mentality, like trying new things, experiences. 2 years later...
2 years later, 10 kilos later.
Yes, like I... You know, I'm trying again to go back to this healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
But yes, I don't know, like the environment in Germany, you know, it made you want to eat healthier. They had healthier stuff like in the supermarkets, there were parks to exercise. Here it doesn't inspire me a lot, but I'm trying and I'm struggling. Like I make a final comment. I met a lot of people there, and I really miss them.
Do you still? Are you still in touch?
I'm in touch with my Greek friends from there, some of them, but like not every day. Like sometimes a month. And I had a friend from Finland. Carla. Yeah, and she was really nice. She was like the best friend I had there.
I really want to go there.
Yeah.
Finland,
so
in the north.
Yeah.
Wow.
With her I talk like sometimes, but. It's not the same, like you can't talk every day, you don't have things to say. But you know, it's like one of those friends that you know, it's far away, you don't talk that much, but every time you talk, it's like...
Yes.
Yeah, so it was nice.
Have you learned anything in Finnish?
Yeah, I have learned kipis, which is like cheers. Mitakulu, which is like, how are you? Moi is like, hi, moi, mitakulu. They would speak like...
With
yes, it was really nice.
Okay, perfect.
And she learned Greek too, you know. Educated here.
Malakas?
Yeah, like one time she was like, she was living in the same dorm and she was banging on our friend, on his dorm. He was like, hey, la malaka, malaka!
Perfect. Thank you so much, Emily, for coming to my house. And
yeah. Excuse me for my English. I hope you can understand me. And
No, you were perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you, guys, to those of you who have listened to us.
Yes.
You can leave your comments below.
Okay.
And you can, I don't know, suggest anything you want. Maybe I can talk about something that
you can put like my something to communicate. If someone wants to go to Dresden and needs something, he can contact me.
Okay.
Or she or they.
Or
I don't
eat.
Know.
Or
they.
Whatever.
Like, oh no, everyone. Yes.
Okay. I will leave Emily's account, Instagram, Facebook,
whatever
you want. Email, you know, you will choose. And you can contact Emily for anything you want about Erasmus. There is always someone who has a lot of questions and cannot find answers. So we are here for you to help you. And thank you so much. Have a nice day, night. I don't know what time we are recording and what time it will be uploaded, basically.
And what time are you going to listen to it? Like, wherever you are.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
What makes this heartbeat faster?